like things actually improved this morning, which is good. So it's good to see the good number we have out. Good to have some visitors with us. If you're here with us visiting, we want you to feel welcome. And if there's anything we can do to serve you, any way we can help you, that's what we're here for. Man, this place really empties out when the kids leave, huh? This place was full. Had a great day yesterday with our winter blast. Only had one injury, and that was me, and I survived, so we're good. But it was a really good time, and Haley won the race, and she was pleased with that. Bring your kids. If you're, Saturday mornings are often a busy time. If you're having trouble, you know, with logistics, let us know. We can make travel arrangements for them, transportation. It was a really good time. We'll be doing this the next two Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. And then following the third session, that afternoon we'll actually be going ice skating. So almost could ice skate on the parking lot this morning, but that's melted off. So far this year, we've been looking at our vision for ourselves as Christians. Are we where we want to be in our walk with God? Are you where you want to be in your faith? What about us as a church? Where can we grow? Are there areas where we can make a bigger impact? Are we growing in our faith in 2018, or are we falling behind? For the next several weeks, we're going to look at some of Satan's most effective tools that he uses. And many of the tools that Satan uses are what we might refer to as dark emotions, things that we hide away, things that we tend to just tuck away and don't bring out real often. How are we doing at handling those tools? Satan has so many tools that he uses on us because, you know what? Satan wants to ruin you. Satan wants you in his clutches. He wants you and me destroyed. That's his goal. Today we're going to talk about something that's hard. It's not easy to look at this topic, but it's something that's important for us to look at in our lives and be honest with ourselves, to do a self-inventory. It's not easy or comfortable sometimes to shed light on these dark emotions that we face. We get hurt in this life. People say things to us. People hurt us. People hurt the people that we love. And sometimes it can be difficult to forgive. Sometimes it can be difficult to move beyond those feelings. But if we allow the spirit of unforgiveness to take root in our lives, it will destroy us, church. It can do a lot of damage to us. A spirit of unforgiveness can result in living a sour life. And you know what? Jesus didn't come to give us a sour life. Amen? He came to give us an abundant life, a full life, a life of hope, a life of joy. How do we wrestle with these dark emotions? How do we deal with this emotion or this situation of harboring a spirit of unforgiveness? Well, today I want to look at a really familiar parable that we've talked about many times, and this is Jesus teaching in Matthew chapter 18, beginning at verse 21. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay it back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown in prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what happened, they were outraged, and they went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said. 'I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had the same mercy on your fellow servant as I just had on you?' In his anger, the master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you, unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." It's a tall order, church. Not easy to look at these things. But we have to look at ourselves. I can't look at you. You can't look at me. We got to look inside. How are we doing with forgiveness? How many times should we forgive? Peter says, up to 7 times, Lord? Jesus said, not 7 times, but 77 times. You know, this question of whether we forgive someone or how many times we should forgive somebody is a question that we all wrestle with, right? We go through that thought process. This is nothing new. During Jesus' day, people wrestled with this same question. How many times should I forgive? And it might not surprise you to know that the teachers of the law, they had an answer for this question. How many times? They taught that a person should be forgiven 3 times. But if they offended you a 4th time, then you didn't have to forgive. And they used references from the book of Amos and from Job, and the rabbis had taken a repeated statement by God against neighboring enemies of Israel. And they made this into a universal rule that limited God's forgiveness and thereby extension the forgiveness that man would have to give to one another. If God only forgives 3 times, then who are we to forgive anymore, was the thought process. Peter knew this. He knew this is what had been taught. He knew this background. So he was being magnanimous. He was going overboard by saying up to 7 times, probably thinking he'd get a pat on the back, right? Because he'd gone the extra mile. This question, how many times we are called to forgive? What's your number? It's a humbling question. What's my number? How many times am I willing to forgive? You know, I know people who would answer that with 1. I've been there sometimes. I know other people who would say, you wronged me once, that's it. I won't even forgive you the 1 time. We rationalize this in our minds because we think, well, I've been hurt, and I'm not going to open myself up to that again. I'm giving the person less chance to hurt me. But if that's our answer, we have to ask ourselves another question. How many times do we want to be forgiven? When we look at Jesus' answer, he gives some numbers, 7 or 77 times or 70 times 7, depending on your translation. Got to do a little bit of math here, but I think my calculator tells me that's 490 times, right? Would anybody disagree with that? Am I right? Okay, 490 times. So to be a good Christian, we must forgive someone 490 times. Is that what he's telling us? No. 490 is not the answer. Jesus is saying, as my people, you should always have a spirit, a heart that's willing to extend forgiveness to those who wrong you. But I told you at the beginning, this isn't an easy topic to discuss. But rather than keeping track of how many times people hurt us or were willing to give forgiveness, Jesus is calling his followers to have that mindset, to always be open to forgiveness, reconciliation. We see this in the parable Jesus shares. But we have a tendency to want revenge, right? To get back, or somehow thinking that if we harbor this anger or this hurt, then that somehow makes it okay what we're doing. And we've examined this before. And when I refuse to extend forgiveness to others, you know who that hurts? That hurts me. That's a cancer, amen? It's a cancer on our soul. It's like me, let's say Johnny's my enemy, and I drink poison hoping that Johnny will die. Not going to hurt Johnny a bit, is it? I love Johnny, by the way. You just have that name everybody likes to use for an example. Susie's over there, too. We use that name a lot, but I didn't use her today. Johnny or Susie. But that's the mindset. We've got to get even, so we've got to hold this in, and we've got to hold this grudge. But many times the person we're holding that against, they don't even know, right? Because it's within us. It's hard to think of being hurt more than once and having to forgive again. That's a human struggle, a human emotion we deal with. But Jesus is telling us, keep forgiving endlessly. Don't carry a grudge. Why? Why would we do this? Because we all need forgiveness. Amen? We all need forgiveness. Let's look at Matthew 18, verses 23 through 27 again. Therefore, Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. We all need to experience forgiveness. We have a king here who is trying to collect on the debts he's owed. And this man who owes him a whole lot of money, more money than he could ever repay in 1,000 years, is brought before him. This man's in a desperate situation, wouldn't you agree? Pretty bleak situation for this guy. He's going to lose all that he has. His family's going to be sold. They're going to be put into slavery because of this man's debts. Aren't you glad we don't do this today? Glad that's not our law today. This man was in deep trouble. So he begged, literally begged the king. He didn't beg for this debt to be forgiven. What did he beg for? He begged for time to pay this debt back. Maybe he thought the economy would get better, a lot better. Maybe he thought he'd win the lottery, but he begged for more time to pay this debt back. Now, we all have a debt we can't pay, right? We sing a song about that. It's the debt that sin costs us. When we commit sins, we need forgiveness every day. If I wrong you, I need forgiveness. There's not a single one of us who doesn't need forgiveness. One of the things that can help us not harbor this feeling, this spirit of unforgiveness against others, is to realize we all have that need to be forgiven. But back to this parable, this man is pleading for time to pay back this debt. Now the king knew this man could never pay this money back no matter how hard he tried. It would be like us individually begging to pay off the national debt. Doesn't matter how much money we have, we can't do it. Congress can't even do it, right? It'd be like that. But the king did something unexpected and something astonishing. He forgave the debt. He didn't just give this guy what he asked for, which was more time to pay back a debt he couldn't pay, but he extended grace to this man, didn't he? Undeserved favor, unmerited favor. He wrote it off. He knew what a write-off was, and he did it. The word forgive here means to dismiss absolutely from thought. Now, this doesn't mean the master was likely to lend this guy more money, right? We don't read about that happening. But what he did is he released his right for retribution over this unpaid debt. There's so many times in our lives when we need forgiveness. We need it every day. What a great feeling for this man. Can you imagine how he felt when he left the king's presence, the master's presence? I mean, think about this. Can you imagine what I would feel if tomorrow morning my phone rings and I pick it up and they say, Matt, this is Ohio Valley Bank, and we're forgiving your mortgage. You imagine what I'd do? I'd jump up and down. I'd scream. I'd say, thank you. I appreciate that. That'd be great. This man is forgiven. He received a blessing far greater than anything he could ever imagine, right? He didn't expect this. Can you imagine the joy he must have felt right then and there? How the stress melted away from him. How he could look at his wife and his children and know they weren't going to be slaves for his debt. Pretty big deal, right? So does everybody in this story go on and live happily ever after? No. How quick he was to forget. And that brings us to another point Jesus teaches in this parable. We ought to share with others what we've received from God. Amen? We ought to share with others what we've received from God. Let's pick up our parable again, Matthew 18, beginning at verse 28. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off, had the man thrown in prison until he could pay the debt. Can you believe this guy? 100 silver coins was owed to him. I read that that is about the equivalent of 100 days' wages. So while that's still a lot of money, was it possible for this debt to be repaid? Sure, it could have been repaid. It wasn't astronomical. The first servant in the story that was forgiven, he was owed 500,000 more times. He owed that to the king, 500,000 more times the money than this 100 days' worth of wages. So the amount he was owed was a paltry sum in compared to the debt he had. After this newfound forgiveness, he doesn't go out and celebrate or go home and thank God or even thank the king anymore. What are we told he does? He goes out and finds the guy who owes them money. And he chokes him. I mean, my goodness. Now, the scene gets pretty nasty. And he's thrown in prison for this, the guy who owes the money. Under the law, this servant was within his right to do what he had done to this man who owed him money. In the same way, church, when people wrong us, hurt us, time and time again, the world tells us we have the right to hold that in. We have the right to hold a grudge. But that isn't what we've received from God. When we are tempted to allow the spirit of unforgiveness to take root in our lives, we got to remember the forgiveness God has shown to us. The grace He's extended to us. The gift He's given to us when we didn't deserve it, when we couldn't buy it, when the debt was so great we could never repay it. He says, through Jesus Christ, I'm going to wipe out your debt. I'm going to cancel this debt. And when we are dealing with those situations and we're tempted to hold that in and refuse to forgive, we got to remember that and share with others what we've received from God. God's given us the chance to live an eternal life with Him. That's what we have to focus on. When we know how good it feels to be forgiven, when we fully appreciate the debt God has wiped clean, then we should want to offer that same blessing to others. Do we want God to hold us in prison till our debt can be repaid? Because it never can, church, without Jesus. We've been given so much by God. He's forgiven us of so much. And He tells us, I want you to act that way with one another. Forgive your brother or sister. Why do we do this? Because it's the only way we can live the life God wants us to live. It's the only way we can be forgiven. We also learn from this parable, unforgiveness destroys, doesn't it? Unforgiveness destroys. Matthew 18, beginning at verse 31. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged, and they went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had the same mercy on your fellow servant as I had on you? In his anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you, unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Jesus also says what Darren read for us in Matthew 6, 14 and 15. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. This is important to God, isn't it? This is serious to God. This is serious in our lives. Sometimes in this life, we get hurt so bad. People hurt those that we love, which makes it even worse. And maybe we think that forgiveness is just not possible. How can I ever move to that point? These verses can be scary when we look at it with our human minds and rely on our human strength. But the good news is, church, we've never been asked to do that. We have never been asked to forgive and be alone in doing that. We have God's Holy Spirit dwelling in us, don't we? Do you believe that this morning, that the Spirit of God dwells in you as believers? That Spirit will help us, will guide us, will direct us. These verses might be scary, but I'll tell you what, these verses give us hope. These verses give us freedom. And if this is something so important to God, which it is, we should take hope and receive hope in knowing that God is going to be with us as we do it. He will help us get to that point to truly forgive. It's not like switching on a light switch or switching off a light switch. Sometimes it's a process. The question is, are we working toward it? Are we seeking God's help? Are we searching His Scriptures, praying to Him, meditating on His Word? Talking to our brothers and sisters who can support us and encourage us. That's what we're here for, church. If we let the Spirit of God lead us to be a forgiving person, we will become a joyful person. We will become a loving person. We will become a person filled with hope. Not hope in what we can do or hope in this world, but hope in God and what He's done for us. the burden of anger, the burden of hate, the burden of unforgiving, that enslaves us. But having an unforgiving spirit will destroy us because it blocks God's ability to forgive us. And it enslaves us in so many ways. Scarlett Lewis had a son named Jesse. Jesse was killed in the 2012 Sandy Hook Elementary shooting. This was the biggest school shooting in U.S. history. Miss Lewis said that at first, the anger she felt sapped everything from her. All of her strength, all of her energy was gone. She was angry at the shooter. She was angry at his mother for making a way for him to have a gun. But she made the choice to forgive. She told people, quote, "Forgiveness felt like I was given a big pair of scissors to cut the tie and regain my personal power. It started with a choice and then became a process." At her son's own funeral, she urged the people there to change their angry thoughts into loving thoughts, because only then would they be able to change the world. You know, these emotions are called dark emotions for a reason. They're no fun to bring to light. But forgiving those who wrong us gives us freedom. God has never asked us to do anything in His Word that's not good for us. He's never asked us to do anything in His Word that we can't do with Him. Do you agree with me? But we have to seek Him. We have to want that. And we have to take the initiative to say, God, help me be the person You want me to be. And when we pray that prayer, He will. Look for those opportunities. Take advantage of those situations to grow and receive His hope. Are you struggling with unforgiveness this morning? Many of us do. I want to ask you a final question. Has that spirit of unforgiveness enhanced your life? Has it made you better? Or has it made you sour and bitter and depressed and discouraged? If so, try something different. Try God's plan, because it will always work. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, come to Jesus. Confess that He is your Lord and Savior, and repent of your sins. Be buried in the waters of baptism where your sins are washed away, where you receive that Holy Spirit, that Spirit that will guide you and lead you and help you become the person God wants you to become. That Holy Spirit will help you as Satan uses his tools to try to destroy you. Because, church, we've never been asked to do this alone. If you're here this morning and you're struggling and you want the prayers of your church family, this is a great opportunity to make that known. You know, that's what we're here for. Like I said last week, we're not here to just get together and smile at each other and sing a few songs and go home. We are here to help one another through this life. We're here to help one another through life struggles. We're here to help each other, encourage each other, uplift each other. If you have any need this morning and you want to make that known, we're here to pray with you, do anything we can for you. If you want to talk to someone privately, this is a very open church. There are people here who care about you, who want to help you. That's what we're here for. If you have a need, we invite you to come now as we stand and sing.
want to remember Shavonna McDowell. She recently had surgery, and we've got her address here. I want to remember to pray for her, and we'll put it on the back. You can write it down, send her a card, and encourage her. She's been through a lot. She's had a lot of health issues, and she needs our prayers, and cards would be nice. And I want to thank Matt for another great sermon. But Matt, you don't even know what a write-off is. But they do, and they're the ones writing it off, right? So let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful for this day. Father, we just pray that we can take this message to heart and have forgiveness in our hearts, because we are so thankful, Father, that you're a gracious and forgiving God. And Father, that even though that we don't deserve it, you've chosen to forgive us, to send your Son to die in our place, Father. And we just pray that we can have it in our heart to share that with everyone that we come into contact with in our daily lives. Father, we're mindful of Shavonna, and we just pray your blessing upon her, that you would continue to heal her, that you would help her to recover. Be with Matt as he tends to her and cares for her, Father. And we just pray your blessing upon both of them, that you would heal Shavonna and give them both peace and strength. Father, for all those that have been mentioned this morning, we just pray that you would intervene in each situation and just be a blessing to those people. You know their needs, Father, and we just pray that your will would be done in their lives. Father, we pray that as we go out into the world, we would lift your holy name up to everyone around us, that your kingdom would be ever expanding. We pray as we prepare to go into the schools, Father, that you would bless our efforts there, that we may reach out to these children and their families and bring the message of Jesus to them. Be with Ed, Father, as and his support group, that you would bless the work there of the loved one support group. Be with Ed as he travels to Washington, D.C., and we pray that great efforts might be made in that trip and see some successes and some tools that they can use, Father, to deal with this terrible problem. Most of all, Father, we just pray that our message about Jesus would be heard, and more people would be receptive to the cross and the message of Christ, Father, because that is the true answer to all the problems that we have in all of our lives. Be with us, Father, and bless us as we go out into the world today. Bring us back safely at the next appointed hour. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.